This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
This is your current affairs program, The Rainbow Report, on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, this is Doug Pollard here again, and this week we're something of a travelling show. Last week, inevitably, we looked at the bushfire crisis and the gay community response, but all this while, there's been another crisis going on in Queensland. The state's been mostly underwater. We talked to Miles Heffernan of Q News about events in the currently not very sunshine state. And staying in Queensland, Shelley Argent of Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays is intervening in the snap state election, asking what are the various parties going to do for the gay community. Coming further south, Mardi Gras is in full swing in Sydney, and the House of Black Star is providing a showcase for Indigenous GLBTIQ performers. We talk to the creative director, Sean Edwards. Milk, the amazing movie about the first out gay man elected to public office in the US and his tragic assassination, picked up two Oscars for Best Actor and Best Screenplay. Kay Serra this evening dons her special red carpet bonnet to take a look at Hollywood's Night of Nights. And finally, we catch up with events in Daylesford, where preparations for chill out are in full swing against a backdrop of bushfires on the doorstep. Lending a hand tonight, we welcome back Scott Bradford. Hello, Scotty.
Hello, Doug.
Nice to see you on the
program.
Yeah,
likewise.
Once more.
It's great to be back.
And staying with us for the whole show for a change, the delectable Kay Serra.
Lovely, thank you. Definitely on the Christmas list.
Definitely. And actually, someone already has, but I have to read it out because it's rather lovely. Hi, Joy. Been listening to you at the emergency services staging ground at Whittlesea. Hello out at the emergency staging ground at Whittlesea. We love you. Big shout to all my fellow bushfire relief volunteers. Thanks for keeping our spirits up, Joy. That's from Amanda the Medic. Well, glad you're enjoying it, Amanda. Hope you like a bit of the serious stuff as well and you're still with us. Now, we head first this evening, as I said, to Queensland, where Shelley Argent, I think we can safely say the indomitable spokesperson for Parents of Friends and Lesbians and Gays, is girding her loins and pushing to get gay issues on the election agenda. Good evening, Shelley.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So this is a great opportunity, isn't it, to get gay issues on the radar?
Well, I think it is, because it's a prime time, and if we can't do it with this election, we're going to have to wait at least another 3 years. So I think this is the time to have a go.
So what are you exactly looking for from the parties?
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing first. What we're doing is every week we're putting in a quarter-page ad into the Courier Mail, just commenting on the discrimination that's still carrying on here in Queensland. Mm-hmm. And what we're wanting with these ads is to draw attention to the plight and to get Mr. Springborg and Anna Bligh, the Premier, to come out and make a comment about where they stand on this issue.
Right.
Yes, so that's the main thing. And also what we're doing, I'm about to go and get... people in Brisbane are going to get very sick of my voice because I'm about to go and do ads, 100 ads,
wow.
on one of the local radio stations next week. So that will start as well. And again, it's saying, Miss Bligh and Mr. Springborg, where do you stand on these issues?
Okay, now can you run us through what these issues are that you're specifically asking about?
Well, the main one is, it's sort of like, now even with the parenting, we're wanting to get, say for example, if it's a same-sex parents and they've used the IVF program, to get the non-biological parent onto the birth certificate. Now in nearly every state except South Australia and Queensland, this is a given, this is what happens. But in Queensland, no. Also now, with the federal legislation, a non-biological parent, if they should break up, he or she has to pay child maintenance. But in Queensland, that same non-biological parent is not recognised at all. and that person cannot take the same child to the doctor to get its health information. It can't take it to school and get its information about its education. And also, too, if the biological parent should, say, die or become incapacitated, not be able to speak for themselves, it is possible that that child can be taken away from the non-biological parent. So there are these real discriminations now between inconsistencies, I should say, between the federal and the state legislation here in Queensland. Mm. And so we want that rectified. And we also, in December, we paid, well, predominantly paid for a Galaxy poll asking Queenslanders what they thought about civil unions for same-sex couples, and 67% said that they were in agreeance that the relationships be recognised.
So you don't have a relationships register in Queensland yet?
No. But they do in Tasmania, I think the ACT, and Victoria.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. Hmm.
Now, they were, I believe they were actually talking about bringing in some kind of relationship recognition bill, but obviously that's died now that the election's been called. Was there any progress at all on that?
Really tie them down to say, yes, this is it. I mean, I had a call a week or so ago from one of the Labor politicians saying, oh, yes, you know, we agree with you and others agree with you as well. And it was sort of like saying, be quiet and just let us get on with the election and then maybe we'll do something. And I thought, no, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm going to keep pushing this because we need to make a statement. And it's like before the federal election, the gay lobbies really pushed, and it worked.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking that this is what we should be doing here in Queensland as well.
Well, I mean, if you don't get a commitment out of them during the election period, they can always turn around afterwards and say they have no mandate for this. So are you coming from?
Right. That's exactly right.
I mean,
this is the time.
Oh, I definitely think it is the time, Shelley. Very definitely.
I'm not going away.
Scott.
Hi, Shelley. It's Scott here. Look, can you just cast your mind back to the last election? What did the Labor government come into in terms of gay issues, and have they fulfilled those?
State or federal?
State, yep.
State? I don't think there was really anything.
Okay.
There was some changes to the legislation in about 2002, which gave same-sex couples the de facto rights, or most of the de facto rights. But I don't think from memory, and I probably also wasn't very political at that time, I don't really...
Boy, how things change.
Issues. Yes, that's right, that's how it's changed. Yeah, so I wouldn't be an expert to talk about that.
Shelley, hello. It's Kay Sarah here in Melbourne. How are you, darling?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yes. Well, just to put my Greens bonnet on for a moment, I know that the Greens are actually fielding some candidates, I think, in every constituent in the Queensland elections. Have you approached the Greens at all, or have you had any...
Well, actually, no, they approached us and asked us what we thought and what we wanted. And so what I did was I sent them off information that at PFLAG, the information that we thought that should be included in their policy. But I also said that we are not lesbians and gays. We are the parents. And I think the lesbian and gay community should really be saying more what's in the policy than us.
Hmm. So effectively you're also putting the pressure on the lesbian and gay community of Queensland to speak up as well.
Well, yes. I mean, because again, like we have ARC, which is Action Reform Change Queensland, and there's QAC, and there's Open Doors are very busy. So there's a little hardcore group. But it seems to me that there's an awful lot of just the general gay and lesbian community are quiet.
Are you in conversation with those groups and those communities?
I personally am not. But I think, though, that they can always approach the other LGBT organisations, and we're always willing to take extra people on.
Well, this is something...
Include them in the group.
This is something we can raise later in the programme, because we're going to be talking to Miles Heffernan of Q News.
Oh, yes.
And he'll probably have his finger on that particular pulse.
Yes, yes.
Hopefully, anyway.
Mm.
So, when's the first of your ads going to run?
Oh, no, well, we're now into... this is our fourth week.
Oh, already?
Yes.
Ooh.
So what we're going to do is just keep them going until the election.
Right.
Yeah.
And any other minor parties causing any difficulties in the election? I see Ms. Hanson is talking about standing.
I just try and ignore her.
Well, I suspect this time round an awful lot of the voters will feel the same way.
I hope so.
Okay. Interesting how she said that when she came out of prison, that she said that if she ever ran for government again, she'd have to have rocks in her head.
Well, it's just to show how self-aware she is.
Yeah, but I mean, still, though, I mean, time, you know, you change your mind over time, and that's what she's done, yeah. I mean, I say good luck to her if that's what she wants to do, but her politics, to me, are just dreadful.
I suspect it's just to boost up the bank balance more than anything else.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, well, thanks very much for that, Shelley. No, best of luck with getting an answer out of some of these people.
And, okay, thank you.
And keep trying to nail them down, because if you don't nail them down during the campaign, you never will.
And that's exactly right. Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. That was Shelley Argent of PFLAG in Brisbane. The web address, if you want to know more about PFLAG Brisbane, is, strangely enough, www.pflagbrisbane.org.au. That's pflagbrisbane.org.au.
We had a listener email through a joke saying, why can't Pauline Hanson work at McDonald's?
I don't know, why can't Pauline Hanson work at McDonald's?
Because they've already got a red-headed clown working for them.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Boom tish indeed. Anyway, we'll take a short break now.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station.
This is The Rainbow Report.
Yes, and you're on Joy 94.9 with me, Doug Pollard. In the studio with me tonight, Scott Bradford and Kay Sarah. Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras is undoubtedly known the world over as a showcase for the gay and lesbian community, and that includes Indigenous gay, lesbian, bisexual and transgender folk, about whom we hear all too little.
My understanding of this event is to combine performance and dance and partying in with a bit of a message. Sounds like a really great thing to do for Mardi Gras.
Yeah, to quote from the press release, it says, the House of Black Star is a place of stature, honour and loyalty where race, age, gender and religion are overlooked.
Mm. Sounds like a utopia. Oh, how can I get a ticket to that?
Or in this case, Fruitopia, perhaps. operating under the premise of one family, one love, the House of Black Star brings a new era of electro-cultured dance party to Mardi Gras. The House of Black Star event is, quote, will showcase talents and create a platform for Indigenous GLBT performers. And creative director Sean Edwards joins us on the line now. Good evening, Sean. I've just been reading from your press release about the House of Black Star being a place of stature, honour and loyalty, etc. And Kay Sarah was saying that that sounds very utopian.
Yeah, look, we draw the inspiration for the house from the legendary House of Enigma in New York and from our sisters in the African-American communities. And it's a place of unity, a place where people can come together and, share ideas, share spaces. And I guess the whole concept was derived from the Indigenous people who are from all over Australia who end up in Sydney for, you know, for dance, for skills development, for university. They're away from home. We formed for an outlet so that people can utilize a space where they can perform if they're gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, or sister girl. Uh-huh. And I guess why we're having a dance party is because we want to launch that as a foundation for future events. We don't want to let this phase out. We want to build on it.
So you're trying to create a kind of home for Indigenous, gay, lesbian, etc. people.
That's right. There's very little space for our communities to find a venue or find an area where they can express themselves. Uh-huh. And, it's some of the work that people have been doing is quite amazing, and we'd really like to showcase it, and hence the name Black Star. So, while we call it Black Star, we're not closing the door to anybody. The door is open, and we want to be able to embrace, you know, any race.
Yeah.
And welcome, you know, anyone to come to the events that we put on. And I guess that we feel that there's been a lack of representation from the Indigenous GLBT community of Australia. So this is a platform for us. This is the first event of its kind. And we're very privileged to be working with the African-American headliners that we've got on board with us.
Good. Kay, you wanted to come in here.
Yeah, Sean, hi. What type of performances are you expecting at this event?
We've been talking to people about what they'd like to do, and there's been this thing about, you know, black drag and sister girls performing, singing, dancing, you know, a culmination of that, who are trained either from Bangarra or NASDA or the Redfern Dance Theatre. So it's moulding of that, and also we add in our black culture and our black comedy. So, you know, when our performers get up on stage, we all laugh at them because they're just so funny to us. We without them even opening their mouth. So it's kind of a, you know, the humorous kind of thing around seeing one of our mob up on stage performing and giving it all their, you know, all they've got.
Yeah. I notice you're doing this in conjunction with AIDS Council of New South Wales, which is what's the connection here? Why have you got ACON involved?
The connection is very important for health messages to be distributed to our mob during the Mardi Gras season. So ACON is the leading organisation in New South Wales that's dealing with, you know, issues around STIs, HIV awareness, and, you know, so without creating that work for ourselves, we're actually bringing on a body that's able to help us deliver those messages of safe sex and health and well-being.
Are you going to be looking at producing safe sex information, for example, in Indigenous languages?
I think that's something that ACON would itself, you know, consider through its advisory committee. But I guess in terms of how we'd like to utilise their resources for our party, is that, you know, we're accessing information on safe sex, and we'll have condom distribution at our event. We're actually also launching a new Aboriginal resource, which will be distributed through New South Wales, which is an amazing achievement. So there's some good things happening in the Indigenous communities.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, thanks very much for that, Sean. As I said in the introduction, we don't hear a great deal from the Indigenous gay community, and it's a great pity that we don't. So good on you for getting this together.
No worries, and we'd, you know, be very keen to give you a follow-up.
Yes, we'll when you organise another event, we've got some feedback on this one. We'd be happy to talk to you again. That was Sean Edwards there from the House of Black Star.
Yeah, it sounds fabulous. Doug, as well, people should look out for the entry, the Indigenous entry in the Mardi Gras parade, which is called Black as well.
How original.
Yeah. But I actually think that's going to be a corker. So it'll look at... No, really, I think people should look out for
There's
that.
There's a really bad joke in there somewhere about burnt corker, but
not at all. Just, I think it'll be great to look at and cheer the sister girls along, for heaven's sakes. Fabulous.
Well, there's going to be another entry all in black, of course, because there's the group, what's it called, Australia United, who are going to be wearing black from head to foot, who are going up to march for the bushfire victims. Oh, so black's going to be like a theme colour this
black,
year.
Yes, black is the new...
At the Mardi Gras. why do you think, Scott, that we don't hear much from the black GLBTI alphabet soup community?
I think it has kind of something to do with an underlying racism that still exists in this country. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but I think that there is still something there that prohibits our Indigenous people, our Indigenous brothers and sisters, from just getting up there to where they need to be. And I'd really, really like to see that change, and I'd really like to see more of a visual presence from the Indigenous people at Mardi Gras, and particularly have that shown around the world when Mardi Gras is shown around the world.
Okay, well, you're listening to The Rainbow Report on Joy 94.9. In a moment, we'll be talking about the other great GLBTIQ festival taking place at the same time as Mardi Gras in Daylesford. Which one are you coming to this year, Mardi Gras or Chill Out?
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station.
Informing, entertaining and provoking, this is The Rainbow Report.
And welcome back, Doug Pollard, your host here. With me in the studio tonight, Scott Bradford and Kay Sarah. And joining us on the line now, we have Kayleen Conrick, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Hepburn Shire. Good evening, Kayleen.
Hello, Doug. Thank you for having me on, Joy.
You're more than welcome. Can you give us a bit of a picture of what the situation is in Daylesford and Hepburn Shire at the moment?
Well, Doug, early on this week we had a fire incident, and that called in all our emergency services, and we're well prepared in Hepburn Shire for this type of incident. I've lived in the country almost all my life, and part of living in the country is the bush, and part of the being in the bush is the threat of fire, of course. And as we know, Daylesford and surrounding areas of Hepburn Shire are truly beautiful, and we have a very impressive built environment and a spectacular natural environment, and that natural environment on Monday was threatened by fire.
Now, I think it's worth saying at this point that, you know, we've been hearing a lot of things about, you know, huge blazes in other parts of the state. The fire that's been around Daylesford has not actually been that big in comparison to the others, has it?
No, it hasn't, Doug. And our fire here is completely contained. It's completely contained. It has a mineral earth right around it, and it is of no threat to any communities or any people or any visitors at this point. So, As I said, Hepburn Shire is well prepared. A couple of years ago, we identified that visitors are very important to Hepburn Shire. Tourism underpins our economy here. And keeping this in mind and the natural environment we've got here, we've done a lot of planning around tourism and our visitors. And about 18 months ago, we embarked on a project with visitors in mind and focusing just on the tourists. And we developed a very handy brochure which has all bushfire emergency information on it. It has all the contact details, what to do, who to call, where to get information.
And that's available at all the various hotels, motels,
B&Bs. That brochure was given out to all our accommodation providers. It's with all our tourism operators, and it's also with all our ratepayers. So yeah, whether you're a visitor staying in a commercial operation or whether you're staying with a local, that brochure will be in that house or that room.
So you will be able to easily get hold of information about what to do if anything happens.
And the other very handy thing that we did was we handed out key rings to all our accommodation providers. So whether you're staying in a bed and breakfast or a room in a hotel, you will receive a key to open your room, and that key ring itself has all the details. It has the bushfire information line, it has CFA information, it has where to go to and where to get information. So, and the other thing that we also developed was a fridge magnet. So it's all
Everyone loves a fridge magnet.
Everyone loves a fridge magnet. So, and that project's been very successful. And we've found this week that our community understands what to do, where to get information. We've had visitors all week, and it's been the same. Everybody's responded very well, and everything's under control here. And it just shows that we've prepared well and truly for the visitor.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's remarkable the speed with which the CFA has actually got on top of these fires, which I think is a tribute to them. Now, obviously, with the Chill Out Festival coming up, we've had my other hat is of the chair, the president of the Chill Out Festival. I've had a few people asking me, you know, is the festival being cancelled? And at this point, the answer is no. But people are a little bit worried because we've been hearing all these stories about what the weather might be like tomorrow. I understand from looking at the latest Elders website, which gives the regional forecast, that in fact the forecast for Daylesford is a lot milder than it is for the city.
We're looking at probably tomorrow at about mid-30s to high 30s, mm-hmm. and certainly that's high, and we've all seen days like that over summer to date, and obviously emergency services are on high alert. But what we saw on the 9th of February, or the 7th, was it? 7th of February, a couple mm-hmm. of weeks ago, I think has alerted everyone across Victoria and made people extremely nervous. So obviously there's more information than ever out there, and the information we're getting at the moment is around the hot day tomorrow.
Yeah, but as far as anybody can tell, everything's looking very, very safe at this point.
all our emergency services are very happy with what they've done to date and very happy with how prepared they are for tomorrow and any hot day.
Yeah. Now, the other side of this particular equation is, you know, we've been hearing, for example, from people in the Yarra Valley where there were some fires, which, as in Daylesford, didn't touch the towns, but were in the surrounding bush and in the surrounding farmland. And we've been hearing from a lot of people in the Yarra Valley asking people to come back because if people stay away from these regions, it's going to make the situation worse.
Look, it really impacts on our businesses and our tourism, and as I said before, it underpins our economy here. And what we don't want to see is the town suffering from lack of it. We've got a beautiful environment here. We've got lots of food and wine and great things to enjoy, and the Chill Out Festival is one on the long weekend. And I think all Victorians need to support our tourism and our areas that that will need them in the next few weeks and thereafter, as well as our interstate visitors. Our message is we want you to come. We want you to enjoy our area.
Yeah. Well, it's also to some extent, you know, there's been some knock-on effect from the other bushfires, has there not? Because I know, talking to the people at the wildlife shelter, for example, that they've been picking up the slack from the other wildlife shelter that had been destroyed on the previous, on the Black Saturday, as we're now calling it. Has there been people coming from burnt-out areas and coming to stay with relatives and so on in your area that you know of?
We've had a couple of families relocate to Daylesford, and we've certainly had visitors, and our accommodation providers have been very quick to offer their services and offer people accommodation and very mindful that people might need that sort of experience given what's happened in the last few weeks across other parts of Victoria.
Yep. Okay, well, it sounds, Kayleen, as though you've got everything pretty much under control. Fingers crossed for tomorrow. And I look forward to catching up with you over the Chill Out weekend.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. It's my first Chill Out, and I've got lots of visitors coming, and I can't wait.
Oh, that'll be great. Thank you very much, Kayleen.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. That was Kayleen Conrick, who actually took time out. You may have heard a lot of noise and so on going on in the background there. She's at the town hall, and the town hall is being used as a refuge for people. So there's a lot of kids running around and a lot of noise and so on and so forth. So, okay.
Yeah, Doug, I think you raise a very good point there that, you know, I mean, of course, many of us have donated our time to fundraising events for the you know, people affected by the shocking fires and or have donated money. But I actually think that Chill Out is a grand opportunity for people to jump on their bikes, jump in their cars and go up. And because really, as you very aptly put, like, there's no better support than actually being there and supporting the local communities who, you know, will suffer because of these fires.
Yes, and it is a gorgeous place, although I'm biased.
Yes, darling, I know. But yeah, I think that would be a lovely kind of sign of respect and also just, you know, a sign of support, just to physically turn up and say, hey, we know you're here, we know it's tough, but we're here to, you know, have a good time at Chill Out and help you out, and spend some dollars with you.
Yes, and I think it's important to point out, this is issue was raised with me this morning, you know, in places like say Flowerdale and King Lake and so on, there the fires went through towns, people were killed, homes were lost, and obviously we don't want to be going around there, those sort of places, Beaking.
No, no.
But it's a completely different situation in Daylesford, where it's just farmland and bushland that has been burned. And while it's impacted quite a number of people, nowhere near as many, no one's been killed, no homes have been lost. It's just basically land and trees that have been burned, and unfortunately some livestock.
Sure. But I think it's also just the, I mean, I think there's a real psychological trauma for living in the country areas and in the bush at the moment, just given this, the horrendous, you know, events of the past couple of weeks. So I think it's kind of it would be a very strong moral support thing for the Daylesford folk. And we can do that. I mean, Chill Out is booked in. You know, it's our festival. So if you're living in Melbourne, you're not up at Mardi Gras, then go up.
And if anyone hasn't been up there before, I had my first Chill Out last year, and it was a great weekend.
This is Doug Pollard with the Rainbow Report on Joy, Scott Bradford and Kay Saran with a little bit of banter there. We'll take a breather now.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au.
Keeping the GLBTI community up to date, this is the Rainbow Report.
And this is your host, Doug Pollard, bringing it to you with the able assistance of Scott Bradford and Kay Sirrah. Now, while we've been burning here in Victoria, floods have been the problem up in Queensland. So we thought it was about time to have a chat with Miles Heffernan of Q News about the events in what I guess we now have to call not our sunshine state, but our underwater state. Good evening, Miles.
Yeah, there, Doug. How are you going?
I'm fine, thanks. So, you know, how's the waters doing up there now?
Look, they finally abated. Obviously, it's been a fairly busy time, but of course, there was a major drama that happened up in Cairns where the local gay bar Sapphire did get flooded, which was quite the disaster.
And I gather some of the outdoor facilities suffered somewhat as well.
Look, there's a lot of gentlemen strolling around parks trying to find their dogs, I believe.
But, I mean, the clean-up is proceeding okay now, is it?
Look, there's a lot of gentlemen now breathing a sigh of relief and working on their tents back out in the park.
Oh, well, that's good. You know, fire down here, floods up there, as you say, divine retribution, but no locust to be spotted. Kay?
Yeah, Miles, hey there. I'm just, you have those, the shocking floods in a gay bar. Has anybody actually come forth with an Esther Williams routine at all?
Look, we were hoping so, but so far the good people up at the Queensland Association of Healthy Communities up there have told me there's no Esther Williams anywhere to be found, but we are waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, perfect opportunity.
Look, I would have thought at the very least a Julie Garland episode in a bar could have cured all their arms.
Look, clearly I need to come straight on up. I do a fabulous Shelley Winters in the Poseidon Adventure as well. I'd be happy to drag that out for you.
Look, it would absolutely be perfect, Kay. Perfect.
Oh, I'm actually surprised no one got in there with a big dishwashing bottle and just got all the foam happening.
And had a homosexual party, yeah. Of course, yes.
Look, there's only so many places that the Queens can do with water, you know. In the parks, what can be left?
Okay. Now, to slightly more serious matters, you've got an election going on now. Earlier on today, we were, in the program today, we were talking to Shelley Argent of PFLAG about the ad campaign she's running to try and get the pollies to pay attention to GLBTIQ, etc. issues. You say that she's not done too well so far on doing things for the gay community.
Well, Shelley's done her absolute darndest and a brilliant advocate, and unfortunately some of the messages have been a little bit harder to hear with our pollies. But we have on good authority, though. Shelley met with Laurie Springborg, our alternative premier, along with Paul Martin, who's a leading psychologist up here, and actually got a private audience with them, so they are making some headway.
Ah, so she went round and kissed Anna Bligh's ring, so to speak.
Well, she turned her back on Anna and went straight to the opposition to Lawrence Springboard, the honourable member for the Southern Downs community up near Toowoomba.
Oh. Now, has the current government, the Labor government, actually done much for gays and lesbians? Because I know you still haven't got a relationships register, have you?
No, in fact, both parties have both sides have definitely knocked off civil unions, and Lawrence Springborg opened the door ever so slightly to a relationship register, but we understand that the Labor government is not at all interested at this point.
Yeah, well, that's rather sad. Scott?
Miles, it's Scott here, mate. What is the feeling amongst the gay community about the two parties up there? Is there, like, do you think one's going to win over the other in terms of gay issues, or are they just ambivalent about both of them?
Regrettably, normally the Labor Party is obviously more pink friendly than somewhere out in the country party, as the Liberal Nationals is now. But certainly, I think as good as it gets will be with the Labor Party. The meeting with Shelley and Mr. Springborg, basically he flatly refused, straight out said that civil unions were a political death trap and wouldn't be part of it. So also the issue of adoption registers up here is also I'm not sure Shelley mentioned that earlier.
Yes, she did.
A significant issue.
Okay.
And Miles, I mean, there's kind of blatant campaigning, which I guess is what Shelley's doing with the adverts in the press, and then there's kind of lobbying behind the scenes. And we've certainly found that on a state government level, and perhaps federally as well, that they might not want to come out publicly and support it, but they all let us know that there are movements, behind the door, so to speak, to introduce sort of law reform. So I just wonder, are there any rumblings in that direction from Anna Bligh's party in Queensland?
Look, there's been a little bit. Now, interestingly, I can give you the hot tip on Friday's issue of Q News. Both the major parties are running quite significant ads in the paper to attract the gay vote. So they're actually doing sort of the opposite of Shelley and letting them know how much they love us. But what their actual public commitments are aren't strong.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah, but that said, the fact that they're actually committing resources to the community and getting a message directly to us is the most significant campaign they've run since
that's something.
The last 4 years.
Yeah. That's definitely something. Now, the other big story up there, of course, is St Mary's Church in Brisbane, where the priest has been sacked, locked out, whatever, turned out on his ear, partly for being welcoming towards gays and lesbians. And I understand also the gay and lesbian choir used to use the church as a rehearsal space.
Yes, well, in the good history of Catholics, the good father's actually decided not to leave, so I'm not sure if he's a tree standing by the waterside where he shall not be moved, but at this stage he's choosing not to vacate the church. And so there was a bit of a Mexican standoff this week where the police told the new priest that he best should not turn up to chapel that weekend.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. Is there any kind of mediation going on?
Well, they're threatening that, but I think for mediation, the both parties have got to agree, and Father Kennedy and his supporters are basically saying we're happy with the status quo. So it will be a watch this space. Maybe it'll be pulpits at 50 paces.
Nice one.
Just watch out for those burning handbags, yes.
Absolutely. So, and dare he actually acknowledge not only that gays can have a relationship, but women can do something in the service.
Yeah, heretic.
There and watch.
Oh, gosh.
That's outrageous.
Gosh.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, where did you get off?
The Pope will be turning up with a pile of faggots to build on the doorstep. And I don't mean the walking, talking kind. All right, well, thanks very much for that, Miles. It's good to hear that the life in the Queensland state isn't all just lying on a beach.
No, we've all got to get ready for Gay Day next week now, or the week after Mardi Gras, so we've got plenty to do.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time tonight, Miles.
Thanks, folks.
That was Miles Heffernan from Q News up in Brisbane. You're listening to The Rainbow Report on Joy 94.9. Now, Que Sera's bonnet this evening is of truly gargantuan proportions. I've been trying to catch her eye all evening, but it's been rather difficult. It's the one she wore to the Oscars. Yeah, you may not know this, but Kay attends the Oscars every year, keeping the seat warm for Meryl Streep whenever she nips out to the loo. The funny thing is, no one ever notices the substitution. Isn't that strange? Anyway, what caught your eye this year, Kay?
Thank you very much, Doug, and certainly no unkind comments about sniffing seats or the like. We're not in WA. Well, I take it all back, Doug. To date, I've been very critical of hetero fellas swallowing their pride and embracing their homo sensitivities in films. Give me a break. Philadelphia, The Birdcage, In-N-Out, Capote. Thanks for the photocopy, but I'd rather have the original. Surely there are gay actors in Hollywood who will take on these roles. Not on your Nelly. Along with the box office argument, which admittedly is pretty compelling, there is a tight-assed homophobia at play in Tinseltown. Recognisable heterosexual actors playing gay and lesbian characters translates to credibility in the mass market, or so say the Hollywood bean counters. The fact that queer-themed movies are doing very well, thank you very much, at the box office doesn't seem to matter. But then there's bad boy Sean Penn. About as hetero as you can get. Although he was married to Madonna, so you never can tell. By the way, I'm currently working on a theory that Madonna is actually a transgendered showgirl struggling to suppress her male hormones. The evidence is plain to see. Nobody has arms like that unless they have serious issues with testosterone. But I digress. Sean Penn's performance as San Franciscan gay activist Harvey Milk has left me breathless. He's every manner screamed queen. To extend the metaphor into the smutty terrain, I'll be buggered if he's not taken up the thespian clacker. Such is the power of his performance in Milk. I fell for him hook, line and sinker, and as it turned out, so did the Academy, who gave him the nod for Best Actor. Heath Ledger's posthumous Brokeback Mountain Award included, it was a gay old time at the Oscars this year. And if Sean Penn's hilarious, commie, homo-loving, Sons of Guns acceptance speech didn't win hearts, then Dustin Lance Black's speech surely did. Picking up the Oscar as Best Screenwriter, Dustin spoke passionately about gay marriage and equal rights in America, all to whooping applause. Not since Adam Elliott's speech thanking his male partner have we seen such rampant gay activism from the Oscar pulpit. And not before time, too. Had I seen such a speech as a whippersnipper growing up in the bush, I probably wouldn't be mincing around today in a pussy bow and floral lycra. Analyse that, you commie homo-loving sons of guns. If you haven't seen Dustin Lance Black's Oscar speech, and let's face it, if you're silly enough to rely solely on commercial TV for your information, you probably won't have, then you must go directly to the web. It's terribly, terribly inspiring. Isn't it extraordinary then, in a week when we have all this gay pride, in Queensland, dear Father Peter Kennedy is fighting for inclusion of gays and lesbians in the Catholic Church, and in Canberra, Deputy Prime Minister Julia Gillard is making shocking comments about mincing men loving ABBA. Clearly we still have a long way to go in equal, no, strike that, decent, fair rights in this country. I'm Kay Sarar and Sean Penn is definitely on my Christmas list. Julia is definitely off it. And for the record, I love ABBA. And I'm quite fond of mincing too.
Thank you very much, Kay. You obviously had a really entertaining time there. What wonderful news about ABBA, Scott, because you're such an ABBA fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I was at the gym when I heard that on television and I just nearly fell off the treadmill when I heard her say that. And oh, no, look, I don't take offence at what she said. It's all part of being in politics and being in Parliament, I think, isn't it?
Well,
it's been worse said.
Fair enough, but if you'd kind of translated that kind of talk to do with, you know, in a racial context or even in a religious context, then it would be deeply offensive. So, I mean, look, I know that it was in jest and you do what you can to score points, but, oh, God, I was quite floored by it. I thought, how
well,
rude.
I kind of was.
Her a letter.
Yes, well, I was too, and then I thought to myself, well, she does live with a hairdresser, so she must hear this sort of thing. Must hear this sort of thing all the time.
You wouldn't tell, though, would you?
Pot calling the kettle beige.
Yeah, I think after that set of remarks, she's been ironing her own hair. But... It was quite extraordinary. One doesn't expect it from our Julia. Really doesn't expect it from our Julia.
Shock.
Just going back for a moment to the Oscars, though, I must say, Kay, what did you make of Sophie Loren? I mean, she was standing Sophia. Sophie Loren. Yes, I'm getting all strong about this one. She was standing there in this sort of wedding cake frothy thing with her hand, I think, sewn to her hip.
Yeah. Look, it actually called to mind, I don't know whether you remember Mae West in her... She did a few films when she was well into her 80s,
yes.
And she kind of, they literally propped her up and in the one pose for the whole movie. Look, I think there's something really tragic about kind of fading movie stars that feel that they need to kind of prop themselves up and
well, she looked as though, you know, she didn't dare move in case some of the stitches popped.
You know? We're not talking about the ones on the dress, are we?
No, we're not, you know, and I was deeply suspicious of that cleavage.
Yeah, exactly.
I must say, I mean, a wrinkle-free cleavage at whatever age she is, 80-something or whatever.
It's funny because the cutaways of the audience showed kind of the current stars with their, you know, mouth agasp, and I think it's because they realised, oh my God, I hope she makes it through this.
And all that lovey-dovey stuff, you know, mouthing back and forth from the people on the
Meryl,
stage.
Meryl, darling.
We've got an SMS through here. Why not support our own state, especially since our own communities in the bush are having a hard time at the moment? We should support them and spend the money at home. Yes, so all you...
Yeah, good point.
Good point. So all you queens who are thinking of going off to Sydney, yeah, traitors. Yes, okay, fine. I had to get that bit in. Well, we're running out of time again. Before we go, I just have an announcement to make here. Freelance journalist Lolly Barr has been commissioned by Marie Claire magazine to write a story called How I Beat My Demons. She's looking for women aged between 25 and 40 to talk about coming to terms with their sexuality. She says, ideally, I would like to find women who came out later in life, fought their sexuality, and then found peace. So if you know anyone, or you yourself, would be willing to talk and also be photographed, please contact Lolly on 0437 377 236. Well, that's it for tonight. My guests were Miles Heffernan from Queensland, Shelley Argent of PFLAG Brisbane, Sean Edwards from the House of Black Star at Mardi Gras, and Kayleen Conrick from Hepburn Shire. The CEO of Hepburn Shire helping me out in the studio was Scott Bradford and the delectable Kay Serrar. Big thanks also to you for spending time with us. The show is produced by Bianca Johnston, technical production by Michael Bayliss. I'm Doug Pollard, and I'll see you again in 2 weeks' time. Next week, Cathy Anderson will be bringing you the Rainbow Report, because I shall be in Daylesford wearing my chill-out presidential tiara. I was going to get Kay to run me up a yellow satin disco suit, but she just couldn't source enough fabric.
Ran out of fabric!
Good night.
This has been a Joy 94.9 news and current affairs presentation.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.